Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
I had a wonderful conversation with the warm, wonderful, and charming Pearl Lowe. From the Notting Hill rock chick to Somerset design maven, mother of model Daisy Lowe, here is Pearl Lowe talking about her book, Vintage Craft. All right, so we're here with Pearl Lowe. We're overlooking London.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now a foreign landscape to you. But you've done this beautiful book, which we have before us.
Thank you.
Called Vintage Craft.
Yes.
I was stunned when I opened it up. And the first one I read, I was opened up, I read your lovely introduction. And then I opened it up and I realized, oh my God, this is like a cookbook.
Yeah, it's sort of done as a sort of recipe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the first recipe is for a cake stand. And I was like, oh my God, how adorable.
I love baking. I'm not very good because I always make massive mistakes, but I love baking. So I thought it'd be really nice to do it as, so you show the reader, you know, exactly what they're going to need and exactly what tools and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of cool.
And describe the look, because it's vintage, but it's quite feminine.
I'm very feminine. I only ever wear dresses. I love that kind of thing. I like girls to be girls, although I have a tomboy as a girl. So it's really
payback.
Annoying. Yeah, payback massively. And so I've kind of tried to keep the sort of 20s feel. Mm-hmm. So the paper's quite old and, you know, sort of, you know, giving it that vintage feel. But, keeping it girly and sweet at the same time.
I really liked the femininity of it and the prettiness, but it didn't actually feel overly girly to me, because some of the tools you need are awesome tools, like, okay, acid,
yeah,
and protective goggles and drills and everything. I was like, oh my God, do you have a big studio in your house?
Yeah, I do. Actually, we've just moved, so my studio is a little bit rubbish at the moment. Yeah, it's kind of lots of things in boxes. It's the one thing that actually I haven't been able to do, so hence no work at the moment. So, yeah, I kind of have a room where I create, and, you know, kids aren't allowed, although they are. They always come in, and they always wreck it as well.
Not when there's acid and you're antiquing
the
mirror.
No, you have to be careful, because I've got, like, I have a seven-year-old daughter, and she gets herself in all sorts of scrapes. So, yeah, I have to be quite careful. But the boys are old. They're teenagers.
Exactly. They're used to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It seems to me also that you became a designer sort of by accident.
By chance. Yeah. Well, my mum's an interior designer, so it is in my blood. My grandmother was a dressmaker, so I do have it in my family. And I always, what I would do is, my husband was in a successful band in the 90s, so we would buy houses, I would do them up, and then we'd sell them, you know, that kind of thing. And so I did have a bit of an eye for design. But my business came about as a complete accident. Me just trying out a curtain for my bathroom because I couldn't find one, and dyeing it fuchsia pink. And it looked absolutely fantastic. This old bit of lace, which then became this huge business, which is really funny. Although I am dyscalculia and I'm awful with numbers. I'm a terrible businesswoman, but I just love what I do. So I'm really passionate about interiors. I'm really passionate about fashion. So it's what I love. Mm. But I'm just not very good at the money side of things.
That's what assistants are
for. Yeah, no, I don't have anyone. I have a really good accountant.
Yeah, there you go. That's all.
Yeah.
Just pile up your receipts.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do.
Let's go through the book a little bit, because one of the things I saw, you don't have the same snobbery that some interior designers seem to have. Like, it doesn't have to be real vintage, or else, you're cheating.
No. I mix, actually. I do mix with the modern. I really like kind of Graham and Green, Rachel Ashwell. Mm. You know, I like what they do. And I think it's always really important to just put in a few modern pieces, because it's also, you can't always find something that fits and, you know, goes with the whole look. I mean, it can just take years. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I've just bought a house and I'm looking for a chest of drawers that needs to be this high and, you know, this wide, I'll just have a look at the shops as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems also a bit of a rebellion against the sort of IKEA-fication of modern interiors.
What's amazing about vintage or antiques is that not only do they retain their value, first of all, you'll be original. You do it up and you will make money on that piece. Whereas if you buy an IKEA piece, you're guaranteed it's going to be, you know, worth nothing in a few years. So for me, I've always thought, I've moved tax. We move quite a lot, as you know.
How many houses have you had?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, I think my my son counted 14 since he's 16.
One of the things I noticed in a lot of the pictures is to have a dress.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it occurred to me that that's something, when it says something about, you know, the personality of the person, that sometimes it sort of furthers the theme of the room or brings in another color.
Yeah, oh, that's what I do. I, you know, because I'm constantly at these vintage fairs and markets, and I find the most unbelievable 1920s dresses for her. And because she's a tomboy, she's never worn them, ever. So instead of, like, getting rid of them, I just put them around the house and think, that's a beautiful piece, you know. At least I can admire it. I could never admire it on her, but it's a beautiful piece, you know. So that's kind of how it started. And now, and sort of old ballet costumes, you know, those kind of things, I just love. I love. So I hang them everywhere.
Yeah, I love cake stands. But in that, you said that sometimes the plates are so... the antique plates you can't drill through. Why is that?
Well, because they'll crack.
Oh, right.
So so it's quite difficult. You have to be careful with things like this. I mean, that's why it's really hard, because they're trial and error. And it's really hard when you make a good book, because you want to sort of give everybody, you know, because I'll happily, if I ruin a plate, you know, fine. But when you're actually giving it, you know, sort of to the whole...
I bought 3 plates. I know, no, 100 pounds.
I know, email you
all
going...
your fault.
Can I have the money back, please? No, but it's just always quite difficult, because you just, you know, I do make a lot of mistakes when I'm doing this. And I ruin a lot of fabric. And, you know, it's always really good when you go to an antique fair and you see a piece of material that you love, and if it's cheap enough, just buy it, because you can save it for another day. You know, it's always really bad when you think, I've got to buy something, and you go. It's the other way around. You have to just, if you feel passionate about something, just buy it.
And be opportunistic.
Yeah.
And you have to be a little bit fearless when you're doing it. Say, well, okay, I have enough for two.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And let's hope I get one.
Exactly. Yeah. And not be too fearful. I know it's annoying sometimes when you're on a tight budget, but always what happens to me is I'm always on a tight budget, but I always like end up spending way too much and then just thinking, oh my God. But if that thing brings you joy, then more money will come.
Yeah. This is the way more projects, more money. The other thing I really liked was the vintage ceiling rose.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
It's such a dramatic look.
Yeah.
And such a fantastic look.
I know, it's so easy to do. I mean, it's weird because all these things are obviously taken from the past, and you know, they're really expensive, those ceiling rows. I know,
and heavy
and also not that, you know, kind of pleasing to the eye. A lot of them, some of them are just quite naff in a way. So it's really nice, and then you can just do whatever you want with it, which I think is great. So, all these things, honestly, none of them are really too difficult. It's just whether you've got the patience to do it. Or, you know, because a lot of people are, yeah, but you can go and buy it. And it's like, well, yeah, but you get a lot of satisfaction when you make something. I've made a few things that I've just kind of, you know, they're in my house and I'm so proud, you know.
Well,
just
I did that. You know, say, oh, where'd you get it? No, well, you didn't get it anywhere, and you can't get it anywhere because I did.
I know. And then people are like, can you make me one? And then you go, no. No. There has been a bit of a resurgence with vintage craft, because I think that we're definitely obviously in a double dip recession, I keep hearing. And I think that's when people, you know, obviously with the house market, you can't move. People can't get mortgages. You know, it's a really tough time. And I think so people are like, okay, I'm going to stay put, but I'm just going to make some changes. And obviously people can't, you know, spend too much money. So that's why craft is becoming quite big, I think. I mean, craft has always been in my house because I've always been in a recession.
And I'm also passionate about.
I'm passionate as well. And I've always had too many children, and I've always, you know, lived way above my means. So I've always had to make things because I've always thought, I want this in my house, but yet I can't afford it. So I'm going to have to make it. But then I'm really pleased when I have. I felt really like, sort of like proud of myself. But I think if you know that you possibly can make mistakes and not to worry too much and try again, and you know, and also there's so many like craft places you can go. There's so many, you know, evening courses, and I think they're just amazing, you know, because then you really can just get what you want, like not have to like look in a shop or go to an antique market. You can literally just make it yourself. And I think that's, you know, the way forward at the moment, really.
Radio Gorgeous supports women Women support Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, I'm Pearl Lowe, and this is all about my craft book. So get crafting.
And what are some of your favorite markets? Because you actually give away some of your own little trade secrets.
I know. I think I'm very brave doing that because they are places that I really go, you know, in times of need. There's lots of places in Somerset. I mean, I'm very lucky to be where I am because there's Shepton Mallet Flea. There's Bath Flea. There's this wonderful shop called Susanna in Bath, which is just, I walk in there and I literally feel like I'm going to hyperventilate. It's just the most
amazing.
Yeah, so excited. Like, oh my God, where did you get that? You know, and all my friends and my husband and my daughter, they know to just go there. If it's my birthday or anything, they're like, right, head for Susanna. But no, I'm very lucky. And then when I come here, I go to the Goulburn Road because there's some wonderful shops like Ollie's and Arban Antiques. And there's so many. Then there's Rachel Ashwell, who I love. She's a bit of a heroine of mine.
Do you worry for your eldest daughter?
Cause no, because she's
in that lifestyle.
She looks after me. Yeah. She's, you know.
Fab.
Well, she's not really in that lifestyle. I mean, you know, she's so funny. She's funny. You might see her at a few events, but she'll be home.
Zip.
She's not really.
She
never
sensible.
Has been.
Yeah.
She's never has been. She's sort of from age two, was so sorted. You know, she's been here before. She's such an old soul. But
that's really nice.
Really nice.
That she can have basically the best of both worlds and sort of learn from your guys' experience.
Yeah.
And keep her head on her shoulders, enjoy that life and being a model.
Yeah. It's her work and she goes home and she watches movies and she's just a home girl really. Yeah. And my son, who I thought would be quite crazy, is the same. He's just like kind of doesn't really want to come to London. Mm. He just like they have camping parties. But he's amazing. Honestly, I get asked so much in interviews like, what are you gonna do if your kids become drug addicts? It's like, well, there's nothing I can do. It's in their genes. It's like more probable that they will be.
Yeah.
But anyway, hopefully they won't.
Exactly. If they do, they do. You'll cross that bridge when
I'll
you come
see those
it.
Signs.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see the furtive behavior.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Coming a mile off.
There'll be no wool over my eyes.
Yeah. So tell me how your career as a designer, because you also textiles and clothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just funny because I just, as I said, I'm all about passion at the moment. Anything that makes me feel passionate, then I go with. And the way this book came about was just because I started designing some stationery. And the girl that I was designing with is amazing, called Abby, sort of said, have you ever thought about doing a book? And I was like, I've wanted to do one for years. And she's like, right, because I've got, like, on my computer, I've got, you know, when you have all the, like, she had it all set up to make a book.
Oh, wow. Like a template.
Almost. Yeah.
Oh, right.
And so she was like, send me the images. And I'd sort of, the year previously, had been going around to publishers and trying to get a deal. And everyone just said, no. And so she said, let's just print it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we did. And we sort of got it. And, you know, I sent all the images and the writing and sent it to about three or four publishers. We got three offers. It was just insane.
Amazing.
And so then we went with HarperCollins because we just really like their books.
So do you think it was a matter they couldn't visualize it?
Yeah. I mean, I think we just had to show them what we meant. And it was really interesting because especially HarperCollins was one that I went to the year before and they'd passed on it. They said, I know we're going to regret this, but I'm afraid we're going to pass. And then weirdly enough, a year later, exactly the same idea, but in a book form, there was a girl there who's no longer there, which is so sad, but called Ellen. And she had been told that morning that she had to get a book that had some tutorials and a vintage tutorial book. And mine arrived that day.
Ta-da!
I know, crazy. So we signed to her and she's lovely, but she left. And she was really passionate about the book, which was great. And so it's been a sort of real labour of love, really. Mm. And we're hoping to do some more, really, I hope, in the future.
Where would you go from here?
I'd like to do a vintage fashion book, because that's something I think... There are vintage fashion books, but the one I want to do is very different. I want to show people how to put pieces, you know, different eras together and not make it look too weird or, you know, how to sort of... Sometimes you see women who dress in vintage and they look like, you know... The other day I was at a vintage fair and this woman turns up with her children and they had, like, tweed coats on to the knee and they were carrying, like, you know, string around... The, honestly, no...
Around their books.
Yeah. And she was like, you know, hair done in 1940s style, and you know, it was just like, and
which is great, but
they
poor kids,
ridiculous. Honestly, we were just amazed. Me and my friends, we were like sitting there going, "Oh my god, like look at her! Those poor children. They look like they've been like stuck down a like bomb shelter for yeah, like the last 40
just
years.
Just emerged, and, unfrozen long, bomb shelter
longer.
Kids."
No, and I just thought, my god, you know, and then, you know, you do see those kind of women, and you think, no, that's not what vintage is about. We live in the modern world, and we got to kind of mix it, and we got to kind of make it look, you know, so we bring it to life in, yeah, in our time, really.
I have here, maybe you can give me some practical advice. I have a vintage dress of my mother's that's kind of falling apart. I've worn it to death.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of falling apart at the seams. And I was thinking, should I undo the seams and make the pattern and then have it sewn? I mean, is that something?
Well, yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah. I probably would do that. I'd probably kind of get someone to copy it. Find some vintage. See, that's the other thing.
You can find the vintage fabric.
Yeah, because the thing is, lots of people think, oh, I'll make that dress and it will look exactly the same. It won't unless you find some vintage fabric. I mean, you can find crepes. And when I was doing peacocks, we found loads and loads of fantastic crepes in India that were really, you know, you wouldn't know that they weren't vintage. You wash them and it's amazing. And we were making up, like, samples, and I was wearing them, and people thought they were vintage. So it is, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, the only problem with vintage dresses is that they do get holey. Mm. They get moth-eaten, and it is a pain. But it's so annoying when you find, a winner, and you're like, oh, no,
yeah,
you know.
Look at those wonderful stains.
Yeah. I mean, I often buy on eBay, actually, and I kind of, it will arrive, and I think, oh. First of all, it was stink, like stinks. I've got this one, which is just the most amazing dress you've ever seen. Black with a white, not a lace collar, just a white collar. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's from the 30s. It arrived, honestly, it stunk of BO. I mean, to the point where I opened the envelope and the whole room stunk. And it's just not wearable. I took it to dry cleaners. They said they couldn't do anything. It was just the most hideous thing you could ever imagine. Anyway, I tried to copy it, but it didn't come out as well because the fabrics were so wonderful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh. Well, luckily, my mum called me pal, and then I changed it. I hated it so much.
Really?
Yeah, and I only changed it back when I was 18.
Because it is a lovely vintage name.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, people really were mean to me and called me like Granny Pearl and Auntie Pearl.
Oh,
and...
because it is a vintage name in that way. But yeah. So, and people were calling you nasty names because of that.
Yeah, well, it was so different in those days. Mm. You know, now I see so many little pearls. And like, you know, there's so many running around. And it's so nice because, you know, I've been the only one for so many years.
What did you call yourself when you were a teenager? Go on. Admit it.
Sam, which is my middle name. Samantha.
Well, I always wanted a one-syllable guy's name, like Max. I called myself Max for a while.
Oh, my God, it's so weird, isn't it? Like, I was Samantha, you know, and it's really weird because I felt really comfortable with that name. And then when I started doing music and I told my band, they were like, what's your name? And I was like, Pearl. And they were like, are you crazy? That's it. You're being called Pearl. And I was like, no. I was only telling you that because, like, you know, yeah. It's like on my passport, but no, I don't use it, you know. And then, you know, then I changed
Pearl
it back.
Pearl was reborn.
Reborn, yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. And we love it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much,
Pearl. Oh, so nice to meet you. Thank you.
And you. Thank you so much for sharing your vintage craft knowledge.
Oh, my, absolutely. Anytime. Thank you so much.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.